Holy Father, we commit this time to your head now, Lord. Asking you, O Lord, that you come down and open up our hearts to look at your word, to understand it, Father. For we know, Lord, we do not want to be a people that perish without the knowledge of God and his word. So, Father, give us understanding, and we commit this time to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, let us look at the child in the earth. Now, today I want to deal with the millennium, or the age of regeneration. But before we do, I want to touch on the thrones of God. I call it thrones of God because there are different kinds of thrones. Not God is just only denote what God is doing or how he judged when he sits upon a certain throne. Okay? Not that their God will sit from one throne and change thrones. Like people have different cars and they drive different cars. It doesn't mean that. There's only one throne that God sits in, but when the Bible uses a word, he knows who he will judge and how he judged them. Now I want you to look at this chart here now. The whole thing, huh? Now the reason why, I mean, I hope you can see it from the back. If you look at this chart, we're going to deal with the millennium here. But if you look at this chart, you notice that there is one judgment seat here, a throne that Christ sits on here, one that Christ sits on here, another one that our Lord will sit on here. Now, in the Bible, it is very clear, very specific, that the number three always denotes a completion. Alright? A complete act. Okay? It's perfection. Complete perfection, that is to say, not spiritual, it's physical perfection. So now when we look at these three thrones here, now in the book of 2 Corinthians, we look at this one called the judgment seat of Christ. That is called 2 Corinthians 5:10. I just want to bring this up to show you something. As I said, I'm not preaching, I'm teaching you to look at the Bible carefully. Why we look at it the way we should, and not the way we just simply, like, in the denomination, we just take it for granted and grab it. Of course, as we say, when we study the Bible, it always comes to interpretation. Alright, now one thing I want to tell you, and for those who might be hearing on this video, Brother Michael might be listening to it. Now, if we take the quotes of Brother Branham and try to prove doctrine, I can tell you we are mess. We are nothing but a cult. Okay? We cannot take the quote of Brother Branham and try to interpret scripture. We take the Bible and say, Bible will interpret its own. You believe that. Now, it would be very safe for you if you look into the Bible, especially when it comes to doctrines. Now, when we study theology, we study about God. Alright? When we study eschatology, we study about prophecy now. And when you study prophecy, it doesn't matter if you make a little mistake here and there. But when we study soteriology, when we study salvation, remember one thing, it is important when we talk about salvation. If you say that salvation comes by grace, it has to be total grace. You cannot say, oh, grace plus work. That means you make the grace of God. No more grace, isn't it? Huh? Salvation, therefore, is not by grace. It's by your work also, which is not true. Do you understand? So that is very important when we come to doctrines like salvation. But when we study Christology, when we study Christ, when we study about Him, all right, we need to also understand and know who Christ is. When Jesus said, I am God, I am the Son of God, I am all that God is here. When you see me, you see the Father. You need to understand that He is not the second person of God. He is the Son of God. And when you look at Him, He is the one that you're going to see when you see Him sitting on the throne. You will not see the Father sitting on the throne. It's the Father in Him sitting on the throne. And this whole universe was, as the Bible said, was framed by the Word of God. Isn't that true? Isn't it so? So who is the Word? The word is that Logos revealed that in the flesh called the man Jesus Christ. Right? In the man called Jesus Christ. You understand that? Okay, so everything in this whole universe revolves around this Christ Jesus. Around this Christ, so to speak, the word, the anointing that flows up from God into the man called Jesus. So we need to understand these things. So do not be afraid to study the scripture. Alright? That's what makes us wise. Is that true? Alright. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who is Paul talking to in this context? We always need to ask, when we look at scripture, I'm going to teach you once again, look at the text before, look at the text after in this whole context. Do you understand? Who was Paul speaking to here? Who was he writing to? The Corinthians. They're Christian, only that they're messed up. Do you understand? So when he said we, refer to them being Christian. We. Do you understand that? We does not include the sinner. Because when Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christian, he wasn't writing to sinners. Do you understand? When he wrote to the Ephesians, the Corinthian Ephesians, he's writing to Christian. Do you understand? He's not standing out there somewhere and preaching to the sinners. We. No, he didn't say that. Do you understand that fact? Okay, but this is what we have theologians get messed up. Okay, now when you look at this one, now go and look at the second one, the throne of glory. Now the throne of glory, you go over to Matthew 25. Throne of glory, Matthew 25. And we read from verse 31 onwards. Now we are familiar with this, we already dealt with it last week. Okay, but we're not going to read all of it, but some of it. Now you see here, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He sets the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the rest of the text. We're not going through all of it. We've done it last week. Now I want to say here, if you look at the context right here, this is Matthew writing what Jesus said. Do you know that, don't you? Okay? What Jesus said when He spoke to the Jews. You understand? Now when the Bible used the word the Son of Man shall come in His glory, He's referring to Himself. When He says here also, He come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall sit upon the throne of His glory. What is the throne of His glory? The throne of His glory is not the great white throne. The throne of glory is not the Bema seat, or which is the Bema throne. It is not. The throne of glory is specific. Do you understand that? Because the Jew that He was speaking to, they were all looking for the kingdom. They are looking for the kingdom that God promised them. Do you understand that? And they were looking, instead of the spiritual kingdom, they were still looking for Israel to be manifest as a literal kingdom, where the Bible prophesied of the stem of Jesse that shall come up, which is Christ, will sit upon that throne of glory. Do you understand that? So they know that that throne of glory was referring to the throne of David. Okay, the son of David. Remember the son of David? Whose son is he? That's strange, isn't it? Son of David refers to none other than Christ Jesus, the one that God promised Abraham, not Isaac that God promised him, but God promised Abraham a seed, not referring to Isaac directly, the literal one, but the spiritual one that is to come, that was Christ Jesus. Remember that. That's the only way that Abraham can be the father of all nations, not just Israel. Through Isaac, he got Israel. Through Christ, he got all the whole world, the nations of the people of the world. Do you understand that? So the throne of glory always refers to this throne, which Christ will seek when He comes to judge Israel. Alright? And when He judges Israel, He will also gather all nations. Now, that's what the Bible said. All nations here refers, the Greek word is ethno, This means says that the people, the races, the tribe. Right now, here we say Singapore is one nation. But we have Chinese nationality. Chinese from where? From China. We have Indian nationality. Indian from where? Nation of India. I mean, their forefathers from there anyway. It's just the whole world is getting smaller. Huh? Perhaps one day Singapore has a small island, we have all races of more than 200 different people here. Maybe probably the tribes in the jungle will come here, for all you know. Huh? They say that there are 196 nations in the world. But some say there are more than that. There are more than 200. You learn some people, all the little groups like Tamil Tiger, you know, like consider themselves one nation and all that thing. Whatever you happen over in Russia. You know. So, well, as far as another nation is concerned, it's 196. Okay, so now that's what we have. So now when we look at the word nation, we realize they're talking about people that will be gathered together. Now, in some teaching that people have in denomination, they will tell you that what you read in 2 Corinthians and what you read in Matthew is the same truth. That is not true. You cannot mix that. Do you understand that? You don't mix them that. And some even believe in Brahmanism. Some even believe that there is only going to be one judgment. And that is all here. The judgment that what we see here in Matthew 25 is here. That cannot be true. The Bible says it cannot be true. Isn't it? Because to them they say it is because the sheep gets eternal life. The goats get cast out. Do you understand that? Huh? You see. So that's how they look at it. Putting the throne of glory to be the same as the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is a judgment of sin. That's why it is judged. Do you understand that? It's a judgment of sin. And the books are open to find out whether you have your name in the book of life. That's why you have the books of life open, and books will open. And everyone will judge according to the books that were open according to their works. You got it? Remember that. But where has the throne of glory? It's when Jesus sits to judge the nation of the people, not as the shepherd over them, but as a shepherd. Do you understand that? Now, you know that if you were a shepherd, we use the word herders. Herders. Oh, yeah, that's the word. Goat herds. Sheep herds. Now, if you are a herds, or herders, in some countries, some people have sheep and goat together, right? You all know that. You understand? If you're a farmer, you probably have more than that. You probably have cow, sheep, cow, pigs, and goats, and geese, and whatever. But if you are a herds and you have sheep and goats, okay, you know how to divide them, right? They're what belongs to you. And if you keep what we call goose, or geese, and ducks. Now, you know what a geese is or not? Geese to me is big ducks. Okay? All right, ducks are small geese. I mean, you divide what's what. You know what I'm saying? Now, some people say the sheep and the goat, they are different. They are different, all right. But you need to know the difference. People say, oh, the sheep has wool, the goat don't have. Who told you? A goat has horn, sheep don't have. Who told you? Huh? Have you seen mountain goats? They have horns, they have hooves too. Alright? You all know that, don't you? You don't know. Okay, then go and look into the, you have a today's modern technology called the net. Internet. Okay. Alright. So you need to understand the Bible here in this throne of the judgment of the nation, or the throne of glory. The Bible said Jesus Christ sit as the church nation as a shepherd divide his sheep and his goat, right? But he is not the shepherd over these goats and sheep. Is dividing the nation as a shepherd divides. Do you understand? We are his sheep, that's for sure. Okay? We are already separated. And Christ is not going to separate us from the goats anywhere because we are already separated. The word tells us to separate in the first place. And so that's why we are already separated. But this throne is separating the nation, the people. Those that did good to his brethren. Remember? Those that did bad to his brethren, they are put one side. Those that did good on the right hand side, they are the sheep. They will inherit the millennium kingdom. Those that are good are cast out. You understand that? But the great white throne is all about judgment of the dead. Everyone come out will be judged according to the works that they did in the life. Do you understand? But over here in the judgment seat of Christ or the judgment throne, what is the judge? They are judged not about sin. It's not judging as to divide sheep from goat, but it is judging what? As to your reward. Do you understand that? That's what it is. So there are different judgments. So if we judge, I have seen how people just simply grab this and then push all into one place right here, or this one and this one is the same. It isn't. And there's always three. And God always works in three. And you find this completeness of three in many places. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Charles Spirit, Son, Picture, and Holy Ghost, baptism. They're always, you see this. Three. You understand what that? Okay. For that, now we go into chapter 20 of Revelation. We want to look at the millennium, or the age of regeneration. If you look at that chart one more time, before we go. We are now, okay, we're going to enter into the study of this millennium here. Okay? So, we're going to look closer at this whole thing. And what we have studied last week, we have finished with the day of the Lord, Armageddon, and then the judgment of the nation. Now all these two happens after the Great Tribulation and before the millennium starts. Okay, so now, verse 1 of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now we know here is that if you go over to chapter 9 of Revelation, we see here, of course, chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 1, it says, the fifth angel sound, and I saw the star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose the smoke out of the pit, and so on. So we know that this chapter 9 of Revelation speaks of this great star that falls. The word star represents, of course, you know, the messenger. It represents the angel. Alright. So, you give the image in the John's vision as if there was a very quick streaking of light or, you know, a star falling from heaven. And yes, we know represents none other than Lucifer and his fall from heaven, because he became the adversary of God. And so he was given a key. Now he had no key, but he was given the key to the bottomless pit. And I always show you that the bottomless pit means there's no bottom, and you fall into it, you keep falling, and you cannot get out. There's nothing to stop you from falling. Okay, and that whole chapter 9 it tells us about the diabolical plan and the schemes of Satan. That God allowed him to do whatever he wants to do. Alright? To try to thwart God's plan. To try to imitate the thing that God is doing. And he has been doing pretty well. But God allows him to do that. Why? To see the true believers. You understand that? Now you know what deceiving is. Well, we know it. I remember that those days when my father has a grocery shop, and sometimes the remainder of the sack of rice, you know, it's in the grocery shop, you sell this big sack of rice, and then at the bottom of it, you know, you get a lot of chaff and, you know, rice. So, you can't sell that to the people. So, we always pour that out into a big, what is called, cane tray, you know, shallow And we know it. You know, you want to see that the husk away from the rice that remains, that we could use it, of course, to sell it or to cook it. You see. So this is what God allows Satan to do and to deceive us, to purify us, to know where we stand. Because God wants a people that is spiritual, not a people that is carnal, people that is not religious, people that can follow the Word of God and obey it and live it. You understand that? Okay, so now we see over in chapter 20, an angel came down having the key of the bottomless pit. Now you know, now he also have this angel that came down, it's not Jesus Christ. Okay, is there an angel? But many people like to believe that it represents Christ. The Bible just says an angel. But when you refer to Jesus Christ, or you know, there's always some description. Like you read over in Revelation 10. I mean, a mighty angel that came down, a rainbow round about his head. You understand that? Yeah, we can give you a picture. I understand. But this is another angel. Okay, they came down having the key of the bottomless pit and the chain in his hand. Now, he also had this set of keys. This angel came down with a chain now. Okay. To do something to deceive us. And we know the Bible says he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So he chained it up. Now these are all what we call symbolical. What John saw in vision, it tells us what is being done. Alright, don't go and think about it. They all here, angel came out with a shackle, with a chain, a shackle. No, don't imagine that way. Do you understand? Because you don't take a literal chain to try to shackle a spirit. You can't. Okay, you understand that? The key always represents what? Not that there is a lock in the bottomless pit. Well, no, it's the bottomless pit. Okay, the key means the authority to lock and unlock. The key means its authority. Always remember that. Huh? Okay, so he has authority and he came down with the chain and he sees all of Satan. Now, you know, Satan was Lucifer, or is Lucifer, to say. Lucifer, back then, you know, was a big guy. Huh? One of the most beautiful archangels. Now, the Bible says another angel, and I don't believe this angel is just a plain angel. He must be a powerful angel. And we only know Gabriel and Michael, huh? But if you look into the Greek, the Hebrew writing, they have many angels and by different names. Shamor and or different name too, you know. So, my Bible don't tell you so many. Okay. So he has this authority that God gave him now. Go and take Satan, bind him up, and lock him up into this abyss. And then he said in verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he will no longer deceive the nation. So Satan will be chained up. Let's look at the chart. He was chained up for 1,000 years. So he will deceive the nation no more. So now, Satan will be taken and he is chained up for 1,000 years as Christ ruled this earth for the 1,000 years. So since Satan is bound up, the spirit is bound up, that means there is no more deception. Huh? No nation upon the earth then in the 1,000 years could be deceived. Nobody could be deceived by Satan, by devils, no more. Alright, so this is what we read here, and he says in verse 3, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must loosen it the season. So after the 1,000 years is gone, then Satan will be loose for one season to deceive the nation. Now there is a reason for it. We will come to that later. Alright, so let's continue. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, there are certain demons that are locked up. 2 Peter 2, 4. For if God spare not the angel that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Truth sits. Truth sits, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved in everlasting chain, unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Now, there is a certain group of angels because of what they did back then, before the flood. And you understand? Okay? Because they were the ones that actually insinuate the scheme and get all these, you know, possess certain sons of God, Canaanite woman, Canaanite man, you know, and the tribes of what you call the two lines, the lineage, Setic and the Canaanite, so that they were crossbreed, you understand, intermarried, and that produces the giants in those days. Now these are the ones that, now, in denomination, they believe that this angel, as you all know, is not true. They believe that this angel came down to this earth, the fallen angel, turned himself into human being, okay, and then cohabit with the earthly woman that produced the Nephilim, the giants. Do you understand? Another view is that the angels, fallen angel being spirit, they press into man. Okay, when they press into man, they become one with the man, and so in a sense, they cohabit with a woman. Alright, but we know this is not true. Alright, now every time there is a spirit, when the spirit works, they always influence man. And some angels are more evil than others, that's for sure, just like human beings. Some people are more wicked than others. Is it not true? Yes. You see. And this is this group that are locked up and not until the day of judgment. They are not released. They are locked up. And so it is Satan will be taken and locked up probably in the same place. Huh? I don't know where the abyss is. Don't ask me where it is. Perhaps it is down at the bottom, in the center of the earth. Okay? A place where God has to chain them up until they come up for judgment. Do you understand that? Alright. Okay. So, the angel that has the key sealed up Satan in this hole for 1,000 years. But it is also stated in Isaiah chapter 24, we want to look at it also. A further understanding about these other spirits. Isaiah 24, verse 21. Verse 21 to 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the heavens that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion in Jerusalem before his ancient gloriously. Now you might say, wonder, what has this got to do with this angel? It looks kind of strange here. What we know here is an Isaiah prophecy pertaining to the kings of this world. Huh? How that the Lord will get it done to be judged too. Okay, you see the word, the phrase of the king of the earth? The king, huh? The kings of this earth. Yes, we know it literal. But what control, what influenced the kings of this world? Take for example, America is a good example, Obama. Now, do you know that there is a spirit that is working in America for many years now? I think, to me, it started with President Bush, the senior. They have caused us so much trouble. The death. Huh? And Obama, of course, came along to try to be a, wanting to be a president and spoke against all this, you know, in debt and things like that, to cut down all this. Well, so that's why in one sense he got voted maybe. But now, you know, so what then? You know, he just look away. He turned his eyes or his head to the other side. Practically ignore what he said he's supposed to do. You know. So we see that there's a spirit working in a certain in every nation. How do we know? I believe that Daniel, was it in Daniel chapter 15? When remember how that he said that he was to Daniel that he was held back because the prince of Persia was delaying him? Hope you all remember where Daniel said that. I think that's supposed to be in Daniel chapter 15. Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Who is he referring to, the king of Persia? He's not talking about the literal king of Persia. He's talking about the principality. King means what? What? A ruler, strong ruler. And when you talk about the spirit, the principality, or the Bible mentioned about in the book of Ephesians, the principality of the and power in heavenly places. Now, do you know that you are sitting in heavenly places? Yes. Am I not right? Yes. If we are sitting in heavenly places, then we say that we must have a certain authority. And we have the name of Christ as that authority. That is the key that is given us. Got it? Huh? So when we talk about this prince of Persia, he's talking about the spirit that controls the king of Persia, that influenced the king of Persia, the kingdom of Persia. And so there is a spirit that influenced America, there is a spirit that influenced Russia, there is a spirit that influenced China. And there is a community spirit. And the king of China is not Mao Zedong, is not, who's the prime minister today? No, Wen Jiabao. Is it Wen Jiabao? He's still not around. Who's that now? You know, politician changes hands so fast, you don't know who's who, what's what now. Huh? Especially in the Eastern side. Okay. Now, so what I'm saying right here is that when the Bible here said in Isaiah, he's talking about this king. So, we realize that even Isaiah said about this king will be gathered together, he is also gathering all these spirits. Do you understand that? And that's why they're all locked up in that bottomless pit, in this abyss. Do you understand? So that they will no longer deceive the nations anymore. Right now the world, the nations of the world are being deceived. One way or another, financially, politically, religiously, whatever it is. So what spirit is that? They're still working here in every nation. Isn't it? So that is what, when Satan is taken and chained up, so God is going to take all those spirits and chained up because so that they will no longer deceive. When China, or when Christ sits upon the throne, Russia will still be there, China will still be there, Persia will still be there, or Iran. You understand? America will still be around, but there will be no spirit to deceive them. Because the head of this whole spirit is none other than the great dragon, the old serpent. Satan is the head. When Christ takes the head, he must take every one of the others and lock them up all together. So no foreign spirit, no foreign angel is allowed to be on the earth in the millennium or in the age of regeneration. Do you get it? Alright? But let us look into verses of scripture so that you will stay in your mind. Ephesians, alright, the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Alright, so we know how principality and power, you know how that principality, the principal demons and you know the powers that's out here in this universe. Okay? We read over in verse chapter 6, verse 12.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, it is not, we are not fighting a, you know that, well, the Bible, Paul tells us that the weapons of warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting physical beings. Our warfare is spiritual, and we are always fighting against the spirit. The spirit thwarts your plans of coming to church, the spirit thwarts your plans for Bible study, the spirit will thwart you from praying, will try to prevent all this. He's fighting you. But he's not fighting you with a knife or a bow or an arrow or a gun or a howitzer or, you know, a nuclear bomb or something. He's fighting you spiritually. So that's what Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Huh? As the king sits in high places, as the prime minister sits in high places, or the prime minister sits in high places, remember, there is always a spirit. He may counsel with his advisor, but there is a spirit that is working. Right? Correct or not? All you know about Saddam Hussein, he said he's counseling with his advisor. All the President Bush back then, he counseled with Dick Cheney and Romney and I don't know. Alright, so we go to war in Iraq, yes or no? Or you may be looking on the physical side of it. But there's a spirit that works in you. Right? The whole of this government. Yes, you know why the Bible tells us to pray for our government. Is that alright? Those that rule over us, subject to us, we must pray. And so why Singapore has always been what it is. Because, you know what? Because there's a lot of Christians that is praying for the wisdom of the Prime Minister and the Cabinet people. Huh? Just like Tavia. You know who Tavia is? We do not know, always call him Tavia because he says his name Tavia. Tavia on the movie called The Fiddler on the Roof. Is there a blessing for the Tsar? You know how the movie is? Yeah, there's a blessing for the Tsar. May God bless him to stay far, far away from us. I know that's very true. We are praying that, is there a blessing for the Pope? Oh yeah, may the Lord bless the Pope, stay far, far away from Singapore. Oh yes, you know. There's nothing good come out of that religious darkness. Because why? We know from the Bible and Scripture that tells us that, the throne of Vatican, the throne itself. And Mystery Babylon, Babylon is a cage of unclean birds. Oh, spiritual darkness is there. You know that, don't you? Yes. Go back into history. And sometimes, I always like to watch the movie that goes back to ancient time history where it shows true history. You know, when the Dark Ages came, when the Roman can rule the world, and if you, especially woman, you happen to be cooking a pot of something, you put this sauce and that sauce, and they see you put a frog inside, that's a witch! And they will seize her, and will condemn her as a witch. Because why? They don't eat frog. That's why when I went to Africa, they told her, you eat frog? That's something supposed to be bad. What's wrong with the frog? Because in that time, the frog is supposed to be an ornament or the object of a witchcraft. Huh? So, you know, back in those days, you do some chemistry, they say you are a witch. And that's what they put to them. Now, they imagine that that's when the Catholic Church ruled the world, science, knowledge went backwards. Literally. Medical research, take a step backward, very far back. Knowledge, retreat. There's no light. Do you know? Yes. But look what happened when the pilgrims left Europe, left England, and sailed America. See what happened in America in the early days. Huh? Knowledge increased. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
When they arrived with Israel, what happened? Look at Israel. There were the people that were dispersed in 1948 They went back to Israel, the land of Israel. The land of Israel was desert. Why? Because the Turks were there, the Arabs were there, all barbarians were there. The whole land was left to rot. It became a desert. Not irrigated, nothing. Nothing grows up there. When Israel went back in 1917, the Balfour Declaration was made, they went back anyway. But it was 48 that he became a nation. So when they went back, they irrigated the land. The people worked hard. Overnight, what happened to the land? It blossomed like a rose, or the Bible said. It will blossom like a rose. And look at the invention. Every invention that you, every technology that you see today were invented practically by Israel. Your cell phone, your internet. You think America calls the internet? Yeah, I know you was there. It was in the army. You do all this research thing, but who was behind? Yeah. Look at a lot of things that you have. It's very true. Behind is a Jewish man. You know. And that's how knowledge, but because there was no darkness. The true God that you believe in will bring you light. Do you understand that? Huh? So that's why God has to take all this spirit, Satan, bring the head, lock him up in the abyss. Alright, so Satan being locked up, we want to see, okay, one more place. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Okay, verse 23. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Just in case that James and Yang Sing does not understand this. Okay, it's not a camel going through the eye of a needle. Huh? The eye of the needle refers to a gate, to a little door in the main gate of the city of Jerusalem. When evening time comes, the main door, main gate will be locked, and there is a little door which is enough for the man to pass through. But a camel will cannot pass through. Okay, so this is what it means. All right. When his disciples heard that they were exceeding amazing, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. No man can be saved by themselves. No matter what you do, how good you are, okay? You can pray 100 times a day, you can do good things, like the chains to cover their face and their nose in a mask because they cannot kill bacteria anyway, they're not supposed to kill any living things. So I don't know how they eat, because when you open your mouth, you pop your piece of chicken. No, you're not supposed to eat chicken anyway. Okay, they put a piece of tea leaf in their mouth. Bacteria will go into. Right? And the mouth is full of bacteria anyway. They're killing anyway. So they're not supposed to get anything. No matter how good they are, you can never have salvation. Only by God. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow you. What shall we have thereof? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, look at that chart. Now, this is what Jesus said. It is, Jesus called this period of time the regeneration. In the regeneration, when Jesus shall sit upon the throne of glory here, alright, and judge the nation, you will simply need to judge the 12 tribes. Do you understand? Okay? That's why when Christ sits on the throne of his glory, and Israel and the disciple with him, those that follow him, the disciple, would judge Israel. We who will be there, okay, we will judge the rest of the nation. Do you understand? Okay. Alright. And I don't believe that everyone in the world will go and stand before Christ in Jerusalem. Because that's a whole lot of people. Do you understand? That's why we are representing Him. And I believe that by the authority that Christ gave us, we will judge where we are and judge the people who will deserve it. Do you understand that? Now, do you believe that in the day when we are changed, and the Bible said, I know there's a lot of things we do not know, huh? Okay, you understand that? But in that day, do you believe that we know everything that God wants us to know? Sure. Is that right? That's true. So the minister said that when we are given that glorified body, the Spirit of Christ will be able to speak to us, okay, wherever we are, be able to judge the people according to how He will look at it, through us. And so, because we are His bride. Do you understand that? Okay, because the 45 days, remember, to judge everyone. Those who will deserve it and those who do not deserve it. For everyone to go to Jerusalem, that's no place to hold the whole world. Think about it now. It's only what the Bible talks about to give you an understanding. That's how we sit with Him in His throne. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm overcome, and I said, when my Father in His throne, when you overcome, you will see me in my throne. So, wow, we're all going to squeeze in the one throne. And if you will have the kind of mind, then you say, no, how can the Lord throw millions of people squeeze into it? That's kind of strange. That's not, it's an expression. The throne, sit within me, sit in His throne means to say, have the same authority that He gave, that the Father gave Him, He gave it to us. Remember, the Father gave Him life, that life He gave to us. Do you understand that? Okay, don't have the kind of mind. The Bible says so, I know the Bible says so. If you do not know how to look at the Bible, you are in trouble. And that's, you know, why a lot of people don't understand it, they don't want to study it because they find it so hard. Maybe it's just too simple for them. Okay, use a little spiritual sense. And that's always, you need to pray, Lord, guide me, show me. Give me understand. Give me some spiritual understanding on this thing. Okay? Alright. Let me look at it. Let me read the verse again. Verse 28. Then you which follow me in the regeneration. Now he used the word regeneration. Okay, so this is the age of regeneration. Or we call it the reign of Jesus Christ and His wife, the millennium. Millennium. Or the millennial reign, 1,000 years. The age of generation is 1,000 years. No, 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 no. Okay? Because the earth is going to have its rest. Jesus, God said that 6 days you shall work, the seventh day you shall rest. Right? A lot of people don't bother to rest now. The whole world is all topsy-turvy. But the people that practice farmer in America, like people, the Amish people, they really practice that too. They sow the land 6 days or six months or six, whatever it is. They will have to give one. Huh? 1 day, 1 week, or 1 month, or 1 year of rest to the land. And that's how it will be productive. The earth needs to, you know, to recuperate, to regenerate its strength. So, the earth has been around for almost 6,000 years now. Right? Is that alright?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, as I said, science will tell you that the earth was came about by boom, 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 one bang, two bang, three bang, whatever, and then something formed, some gas formed into bacteria. Bacteria decided to say that I want to be a little bit bigger. It multiply, and then became a tadpole, multiply to a frog, into a fish. Come onto the land, the fish. I don't want my fin. I want legs and hands. So he come up and become up. And they say, I want to climb the tree because I love the mango. I love the whatever. And they climb up the tree. And they say, no, I want to come down later on, become like a man. And they're all imagination of evolution. Okay? Alright. Whatever the sun is, it doesn't matter. But the thing is this, is that we know that this earth, the present earth I'm talking about, we know that earth exists millions or thousands, we don't know how long. But you know that there was a period of the dinosaur. They no more existed because they were extinct. Because what happened? That Lucifer sinned against God and caused this problem. But mankind getting back to Adam was only 6,000 years. You cannot go further back anymore. Do you understand? You cannot go further back anymore. Adam was the first man. And Eve was the first woman. And that's why we are up to this age. Now, with about 6,000 years. Christ is going to come back, take the earth, rule the earth for 1,000 years, let the earth rest, regenerate. You know what I mean to regenerate? To bring it back. You lost an arm, you regenerate back. This earth needs to be regenerated, rejuvenated, repaired, remade, recreated, whatever you want to call it. That's why here, up here, you look at Isaiah 65:17. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Right? That's very interesting here. Put a plural right here for the word heavens. A new earth, I create new heavens. My new heavens. There's only one heaven right here in this earth that we breathe in, the first heaven, this atmosphere. But what happened up there when you go up beyond this breathable atmosphere, breathable heaven, is the outer space. Hey, the outer space is full of junk up there. You know that, don't you? Huh? There is no longer junk up there. They're going to be repaired too. They all have to be made new. Huh? You never know one of these days that a piece of a satellite may fall from the sky and land on your head. You know, all these other things are set up there. They're dirty this heaven with all the pollution. CO2, CO, carbon emission. Now the whole world will say, okay, let us do solar, let us clean up the earth. Then they set up, filled up there in the outer space. Not only that, they're dirty this earth. The water is dirty, the earth is polluted. Huh, China is a big culprit because, after all, China and India is the biggest culprit. America also. I think America started it. Now everybody wants to do it. Now the Americans tell them, hey, you shouldn't do that. And then China tell them, you clean up your backyard first. You know? But the whole earth is polluted. Chemical, you know, they dump here and there. I mean, that's a lot of truth. In America, there are a lot of this incrimination of dumping of toxic waste. You know? And that's why you have cases. Even to today, I don't think that you shouldn't pay them. In China, the same thing. They dump it anywhere they want. In the middle of the night, nobody looking, they bring the truck, dump it somewhere else. Even to Singapore. You know, all the rubbish are dumped in some corner of the island here somewhere. You know, that's what men are. Because men is born sinner. They have no consideration for others. They live only to themselves. I is the I. Not the lie of a pie, but the lie of I. You know, it's all about me. You see? Alright, it's all about power. But in a regeneration, so this 1,000 years, right, that's going to be a regeneration. That's interesting. How things are going to go by and things will become new. Okay, alright, let's go on to the verse 4 now. And I saw thrones, chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones. And death sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and they and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right. Now, the beginning of this 1,000 years, okay, this 1,000 years is just the beginning. Even though when Christ ruled here, he is bringing back this earth into a Edenic state, back to like it was in Adam's day. But it cannot be as what it was, okay? But this is only a prelude or just a setting that goes towards that, because the true Edenic condition will be in the new heaven and new earth. Do you understand that? Well, there will be no more cars, no more planes, no more houses. What? No more houses now? When I talk about that, people say, oh, what, no houses, then what do people live in? Did Adam and Eve have a house? No. There is no rain at all. You never rain. When you go back to the immediate condition, you have a new earth. I can tell you there will be no more rain. You don't have to worry about it. The earth is no more tilted. It will be straight and spinning like a top. No more wobbling like that. That's why we have 365 1/4 days. Because the earth, when it's spinning like this, it wobbles and it's slowed down. Alright? But when it's like this, like a top, very smooth. You move around the sun, 360 days. 360 days, 360 degree in the circle. And that's what it is supposed to be. And there'll be no more rain. Right? You don't need house. What do you need a house for? You don't need car. What do you need car for? What? Where you want to go? People, where you want to go, huh? You see, the problem is that when you have cars, when you have man-made stuff, always in you. When men make, men destroy. You agree with that? Men invent the, what do you call it, battery. Huh? You know how toxic that is? Yeah, you see, men found the crude oil. Hey, we can take petroleum out of that. and combusted and move machines. Yeah, so what do you have? Look at the cars, vehicle, poop, 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 those days. Huh? How dirty and how poisonous that is in the air. That's it. So when man make, man will destroy. And so there will be neither heaven nor earth, there will be none. That's why the regeneration is cleaning up the earth, going back to the condition. Okay, slowly, 1,000 years, God is, Christ has a lot of patience. Alright, slowly bring everything back. Because if Christ were to do everything overnight, one shot, nobody can take it. That's for sure. Right? And that's why when he goes back, slowly going backward, first of all, clean up the hemisphere. Okay, that's why I like it. You know, Filipino especially, India especially, China especially, look at all the vehicles. There will be a lot faster, this vehicle off the road. Right? Every 6 months, go for an inspection. Here in Singapore every year after 5 years. Huh? Then what? Slowly, all those guys, so many years old, the machine, so out you go, new machine, all that. So, things will be going back. Alright. I don't know how many years later. Okay, no more eating of frogs. No more frog leg for you. These are green food. Okay. No more crab. Oh, no more crab.
No prawns.
No prawns. Slowly. Everybody going by. No more pig, no more pork. You know, you have to go back. Because we have to go regenerate back to eating what? Herbs of the field. You know. But no meat cannot, you know, some people say no meat, you know. Some people just cannot take capacity. Huh? After one day, they cannot. Every day must have chicken, or pork, or beef. So there must be wean off slowly. Slowly, until the end. You see. And that's why people still rebel at the end when Satan is let loose. That's the thing about it. Because, yeah, I know I'm happy now, I can go back to eating pork. Right? This, you know, fight against the kingdom of Christ. That's what people are. Okay, so now, here in verse 4, we see, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Now, I want you to observe. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. So there is one group that sits upon this throne. And then he said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark in their forehead or forehead, and they will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, so now what we see is that Christ set up his throne on earth, and there is this group of people that sit upon the throne, they are given authority. Now, whenever you sit on the throne, you must have an authority. You sit on the throne for nothing. Huh? You know, it was, you might just have a Branham. When they visit Brother Branham's house, some people, you know, they're just all so religious, they go to Jeffersonville. I want to go to Brother Branham's house. So they went out to Brother Branham's house, and they bought him Sister Mather at that time. And what is Brother Branham's study room? And they went and said, oh, and then they were touch. What is Brother Branham's bed? Oh, can I lie down? Oh, I feel the spirit of Brother Branham. You know, all that thing. They, you know, people get into that. Huh? They feel that by sitting on Brother Branham's bed, by lying down, they get righteous. They feel they have the power of Brother Branham. Do you understand that? Right. So it's the same thing. If the throne is not yours, you feel like sitting on the throne, you look like a king. You feel like a king. It's all your feeling in the head, but you don't have authority. Do you understand? So when the Bible talks about them to sit on the throne, that means they have authority. Authority was given unto all those who sit on their throne. Their thrones. You understand that? Okay? Because Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus said, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Huh? So we all will have authority to judge all those that stand in front. Huh? Those who really are. That's what we need to understand about the hierarchy of God. Holy City, New Jerusalem. Okay? That's why he's in the shape of the pyramid.
There's only one head up there, only one chip. Then you get a few more. Then more has gone down. Until the base is the heaviest. Or the quantity of believer and bottom is large. You understand? So the higher one up there has more authority than the one in the below, right? But those that are raptured are the one that sits on the throne, and then those that stood before the throne are those that have been beheaded. For one. Because they refuse to take the mark of the beast, they refuse to bow down to the image, they refuse to bow to the beast system. And so they were killed. Alright, the foolish virgins, as well as the faithful Jews, as well as anybody else. That's why in the tribulation period, the only way that you have salvation, when you're not a Christian, is remember to glorify God, fear God, and give Him the glory. And have your head cut off by the Antichrist. You've got to give your life up. Because here is God, Satan versus God. Satan wants to control people, wants to take people away from God and put them in hell and burn them up. Do you understand? They wanted to destroy God's word, Satan and his fallen angel. And God gives you a choice. If you cannot make a choice now, you want to make a choice later, go ahead. I'd rather make my choice and be with him and rule with him and not be standing before him in this condition as in verse 4 here and be judged by the rest of the saints. But yet all those that stand before the throne will be judged. They will also be part to be ruled in the millennium. Do you understand? Okay, here is where, as I said, we are only there, it's going to be rapture. The first rapture over there, but those that pass through the tribulation, alright, they refuse to take the mark of the beast and so on, then they will rapture up here when they die. Okay? And so this will be form part of the first resurrection. You understand that? So this is the third phase, okay, go up there here. This is the third phase of the first resurrection. There are only two resurrections. But the first resurrection has three phases. Remember again the number three. Alright? The first phase is gone. When Christ resurrected from his grave, remember? That's when the Old Testament sent him out. And many went into the city and give a testimony or witness to those that are there to let them know that the resurrection has taken place. Then the rapture is the second phase. Okay, which would happen after Ezekiel 38, 39, or around that time. Then the third phase is this one. After the tribulation, then they'll come out. And all these three phases make up the first resurrection. And the Bible here said, in the next verse, verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. For they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You got it? Okay? So, first resurrection. All those who come on the first resurrection, they are all blessed. Because they're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And the dead will live now. Go up, swing it down a bit. Okay, the rest of the dead will come up at this great white throne judgment. They will not come up until after the 1,000 years is gone, is expired. Then they will come up at the great white throne judgment. And now, the Bible said, blessed are those upon the first resurrection. In the second resurrection, people, there are some that will see death. I mean, there were some that will see life, but the rest of them, majority of them will see death. Okay? But let us go back a little bit. Let us go to Matthew 25. Why we want to go to Matthew 25? Look at the promises of the word of Christ. Matthew 25 verse 14. By verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like as a man traveling into a far country, we call his own servants, deliver unto them his goods, and one of them give 5 talents, another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey
Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them others 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2 talents gained 2 more. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents and said, Lord, thou hast given unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So, the same thing with the one with the 2 talents. He got 2 more. And said, well done, servant. Now enter into the kingdom of God. But the one that had 1 talent, he dig a hole in the earth, put the talent inside, buried. When he came, when the Lord came back, the master came back, he dug it out. And so, here is the 1 talent that you gave me. And he didn't. What is the use when you are given a talent and you do nothing with it? When God gives you a gift, it's called a talent. And it's by the same word, but it doesn't mean the same thing. When you have a talent from God, or a gift from God, if you don't make use of it, then you give an account. And you know what the Bible said? Verse 28, the one that had nothing. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now think for a moment. That's why it's so important. When God gives us something now, take for example the Word of God. Now when God gives you the word, and you know it's true, you need to embrace it. Hold on to it, believe in it, walk in it. So God can give you more. It's true. Because you want to invest in that which you have. But there are people who know the truth that God has given them. But they don't keep that. They don't make use of it. Okay? The Lord says what? Even that which you have will be taken away from you, and you have left with nothing. And you will cast them into the outer darkness. So just think for a moment how important that really is. Whatever the Lord gives us in our hand, we need to realize that these are the things God put into our hands. Whether you be your salary, your health, your whatever, it's God given to you. You don't say it is yours. I work hard with my hand to earn $10,000 a month. Really? If God take away your health, what do you have? Can you go back to work? You take MC. After 1 month, you get a certain affliction, the company says you are sacked. You get nothing. So don't be high and mighty that everything is yours. Don't give God no glory. You have not yet known who God the Lord is. You see? So we always look to the Lord, we know that His will, we trust in Him. So we do what He has given unto us. Alright, so we need to realize this. Alright, because as from these parables that Jesus gave, that's the reason why that whatever talent we give, if we make use of it, you will be considered good servant. And therefore you will be given, okay, let's go to another place. Alright, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 19. I think this will be a different account for that. Luke chapter 19. Verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Of course, you know who that is, huh? It's a parable of the con. And he called his 10 servants and delivered out 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy it till I come. Alright. And his citizen hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. So there were a lot of frustration. Some of them do not want to do it. Okay? But read what happened. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded this servant to be called unto him to whom he had given the money. that they might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first one, saying, Lord, thy power have gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities? And the second said, Lord, here, you give me 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Now, what other talent God give you? When you make use of it, faithfully, you will be ruling over, you are given authority, you will be given a certain precision to rule in the millennium. Do you know that, don't you? Huh? Right? Sure. Don't you know the apostles of old? Look at the apostles. They are given all this talent. Apostle Paul has more talent, I believe, than Peter, than perhaps, than, well, maybe Thomas or Andrew, you know. But each one being an apostle, they all are given certain talents. And if they do what they'll do, they will have a position in the kingdom of Christ on a higher level to be in charge maybe of 2,800 cities or whatever. This is just an example. Do you understand? Some people say, I don't want to do any work for God. You know, I just want to be saved and go to heaven and just all by myself walking along and don't do any work. Do you think so? Then you are lazy. Procrastination is a bad spirit. Huh? To become unfaithful servant. Right. And you know what? When you are unfaithful servant, you go and go, you go to heaven, you have a good time resting. I can tell you, maybe the Lord make you to do manual work. In the millennium. You know. But you don't think so? Everybody has work to do, you know, Sister Lucy. We all have work to do in the millennium. Don't you understand? Yes. How you rule? You will be a supervisor over those manual workers. For you know. Everyone have a position in the body of Christ. So that's what we are. If being faithful, you get more. Being unfaithful, you get into a problem. Alright. Okay, let's see. I want to just follow it closely with what I have. Alright. Let us look at this book of Daniel chapter 7 anyway. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 to 10. Here, Daniel also had a vision, and this vision is very similar to that which John saw. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 to 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, let's see, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now here, there are people that interpret that this one here is that 1,000 and 1,000 minister unto him are the angels. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him are the saints. Now that's not what the Bible teaches tell you. The Bible did not tell you whether they're angel or people. But when you look into the context properly, okay, you know that this is very similar to Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, isn't it? Huh? Thousands, not very much. Isn't it so? Thousands. The other one is 10,000. 10,000 times 10,000 is more. What it is, isn't it? Sure. The bride that sits before the Lord are fewer in number. They're accelerated up, you know, in the present time, compared to those that came out of the Great Tribulation. And even in the Great White Throne Judgment, don't forget, we will still sit with Christ in that throne. Huh? And then there were thousands that came up from all the ages, from the time of Adam's, all the dead from that time were resurrected. And the great white throne judgment. And everyone will give account in the books. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the ancients of days, and brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. That's the millennium, the age of regeneration. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. All these are verses that pertain to what happened as people get into the millennium age. Alright, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up war or swords against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Ain't it wonderful? That's the age of millennium. All the weapons, guns, rifles, and howitzer, and whatever, you know, tanks will be stripped apart, huh? Will make into plowshares and pruning hooks to harvest the crops. Matthew 25. Oh, well, we have been with that 25 anyway when Jesus comes to judge. Alright? Okay. Let's go right now to verse 5 and 6 again. And here we have the rest of them. They did not again until the 1,000 years were finished, and this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, on such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Alright. Here's the first resurrection of people are called blessed. Remember that, huh? Blessed and holy. Because why? They are blessed to go into the millennium. Got it? That's a good one more thing, huh? And they are holy. Okay? And the second death have no power. Because in the first resurrection, all those that get on the first resurrection, everyone resurrected and given eternal life. No one is judged to be changed, thrown into the lake of fire. But in the second resurrection, in the great white throne, that's where I said, death have power to seize anyone whose name is not in the book of life. Okay? So now, we want to ask this question here. What is death? What is death? Death is a cessation of life. When you cannot breathe anymore, air is no longer in your body. Okay? Now, sometimes you say, the heart stops. The heart stops doesn't mean you die. Your heart just takes a rest. It didn't die yet. But within 6 minutes, if this oxygen or air doesn't go into your body system, especially the brain is the first organ to go. You become brain dead. Brain dead. You understand? You don't, you're alright. Okay? So, the thing is that, what is death? Death is when there is no more air. Okay? And the word air in the Bible always very similar to life. You understand? Because air is life. You know that, don't you? Air is life. Okay? That's why, you don't need water. You need air first. When the baby come out of the mother's womb, that baby did not cry and says, I want water. The baby first thing is to cry, is to get the lung expanded. Air must go in. That's the spirit of life, that is to say. So when the life leaves your body, then the body dies. Okay? That is death. But when you talk about the second death, is when your soul or your spirit of God left your soul completely, and your soul is cast into the lake of fire, that's when you have the second death. So, people will die twice. Okay, everyone would die twice. Like it or not, whether you're Christian or not Christian, you will have to die twice. You know that, don't you? Okay. If I'm not a Christian and I die now, that's my first death. Right? But when I stand in the great white throne judgment here, I will be cast in the lake of fire. That's the second death I die towards. Okay? But now I'm a Christian. Huh? I die once only. He who died once will never die a second time. If you die the first time, you'll die, you never die a second time. Okay? Die once. So now you need to die first. When you die now, you're born again. When you are born again, there will be no second death. You understand that? But it, okay. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You get it? Everyone is born once, right? Everyone who is born once, when you die twice. But if you are born again, you are born twice, you only die once. Oh, I'm born again, huh? Second birth. I have a second birth. So I don't have to die a second time. Isn't that wonderful? So God gives you a choice. You want to be born twice? Good. Born again, and you only die once. And I'm already dead. I will die even physically. That's it. Oh, because I already died to self. Okay? Good choice. I'm a salesman. I'm trying to sell you that. Alright. Okay. So when the soul, the Bible said in Ezekiel 18:4, quickly, the soul, Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, now the thing is that a human being is made up of body, soul, and spirit. It is, that's what we always say. But, what is spirit, what is soul? What is spirit? What is soul? Now, some, well, I know in Brother Abraham's, I think whether he draw a chart or not, or whether he's explaining it. You know, they always draw three circles. Outer circle, inner circle, and the innermost circle. Alright. Now, the thing is that some put the body, the outer one, then the soul, then the spirit in the inner one. Okay. But in those who follow Brother Abraham, put the body, and then the spirit, then the soul in the inner one. Now, I don't think anybody can argue and fight about which is right. I know they all want to fight about it, huh? I don't, it doesn't matter. Huh? Is the spirit in the soul, and the soul in the body? You got what I mean? That's the body. The soul inside, the spirit in the soul, and the soul in the body. Okay, you know the little toy, you know, Russian toys, a little one inside, a little one, and bigger one, you know, that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Small cup in a bigger cup, in a bigger cup, in the biggest cup, that sort of thing. Okay, so now, is the spirit in the soul, soul in the body, or is it a or is it the soul in the spirit, and the spirit in the body? What difference does it make? Because the Bible, you cannot tear away these two words, soul and spirit. They are very closely linked together. Adam was created a living, Adam was created a spirit. He wasn't a living soul yet. Because he was a spirit in the spiritual world. In the heavenly realm. Then God made a body of dust. Then by putting the spirit into that dust, the Bible said Adam became a living soul. Now, a living soul means to say the soul is manifesting the spirit that he originally is. You understand? Now, as a Christian, you have the spirit of God. So now you are the living soul that you are expressing now, you must express Christ. You live the life of Christ. Is that right? Got it? That's what Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Do you understand? So if Christ that liveth in him, he expresses Christ. But for a person who is not a Christian, they don't express Christ. They live only in life. Do you understand that? Okay. So is it the spirit in the soul, in the body, or the soul in the spirit, in the body. That doesn't make any difference. Okay? You understand that? What I'm saying is that when the body dies, you love your soul, the spirit and the soul together. You understand that? When that stands in for judgment day, God is going to call out even the body together. The three things must come out. Okay? The three things must come out. So what happened? The Spirit of God's life is taken back to God, because God is the one that gives you this Spirit. Okay? The body and the soul is then taken and cast into hell. That's why Jesus said, do not fear him who can destroy the body, but not the soul. But rather, fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Do you understand that? Okay, the soul is what you are, your expression that you need to know. All right, quickly go right now. Now, in the millennium, therefore, in the millennium age, let's read Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 10. It's very self-explanatory there. You don't have to, there's no need any interpretation. Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge after the sight of his eye, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now who is this talking about but Jesus Christ? Okay? Just now come forth from this lineage of Jesse. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's how Christ fights. You don't have to use sword. Just speak the word. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loin, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. So in the regeneration, in this stage here, just imagine, okay? Alright, in the millennium, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. That's interesting. The wolf with the lamb, the leopard with the kid is a little goat, huh? And the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Little child, they are children born in the millennium. The Bible here tells you that. You don't need any interpretation. There will be marriages. Not for you, not for me, who are changed. The body, they are changed, because there's no more sex for us. The body is changed. You understand? But for the physical people, they enter in. Because Christ is ruling over them. Their children will be born. And the little children shall play among the animal, wild animal, and they will not be harmed. Okay. And he said, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Ah! Very strange. Like eat straw. Now that's the thing about that. That's why I want you to realize that. Don't let science fool you sometimes. Especially, not science in itself, but rather we have theology and you use science and don't understand. Huh? They're subtle. Now you know, as I said, you have your incisor, your cutting teeth. Right? Cut what? Banana? You see that? But you cannot use your incisor to try to chew the bone, can you? You will chew the bone with the molar. And what about these two vampiric teeth? The canine one. What is that for? Science will tell you, that's what animals have. These big teeth, sharp teeth, to tear the meat. Oh, that's particularly true. But when God created it, it wasn't to tear meat. It was to tear what? Roots. When you take sugar cane, you know, huh? Isn't it? You tear your teeth with sugar cane, you tear it with that canine. You bite into it, you tear. So the lion will be tearing the sugar cane. He'll be eating straw, mind you. Right. Don't worry when you go out to him, a little baby will just go out to him and the lion says, you are food for me. Now he will be saying that. Huh? He probably licked the child with his face like a puppy. Interesting days. I'm looking forward to that day. And the suckling child shall play on the horn of the apse, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains. So you can play with the snake's hole and the snake's den. poisonous vipers and apes, whatever, it doesn't going to hurt you. For the arms are the form of knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse, which shall stand for the ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his flesh shall be glorious. One more passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 18. Isaiah 65, verse 18. Be ye glad, and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and a people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. Nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more dance and infirm of days. Nor an old man they have not fulfilled his day. For the child that died 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. There will be no more death. But there will be death when people refuse to obey the word. So if you are born at the beginning of the 1,000 years, you can live up to 1,000 years old. But if a man who is 100 years old, he just like a baby. And if he is stubborn, he refuses to obey the word of the Lord, judgment will be meted out by God, and he will die. When he dies at the age of 100, he's just like a child. Huh? Think about it. Isn't it? Now, if we can live today up to a maximum of 120 years old, right? If you live up to 10 years old and you die, you're just like a baby, a young kid. So if you can live up to 1,000 years old, 100 years old is only 1% or 10%. You're still young, isn't it? 20 years old, if you die 20 years old today, you're still young. You're still considered a child. Right? You know? True, isn't it? Yeah. You're still a young man. You're still a child. Consider that, huh? And he said, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build another inhabit. So there'll be no such thing as, you do the dirty work, I take over. Huh? And I take what you plant. No. Everyone will have work to do, and you just say that it is no work, no eat. Everyone have to build, everyone have to plant. Okay? And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For as the day of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, neither bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the young and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be their heifer's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, said the Lord. Holy mountain means my holy kingdom, said the Lord. There will be no more hurt, as said in this time. Amen. We'll close it and continue next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. Thank you for thy word. Bless, O Lord, the study of thy word, O Father. And that which we have learned, continue, O Lord, that our hearts stir up to know more of thy word of truth. That we may know, O Father, what lies ahead, and that in all wisdom, O Father, to enjoy the blessing of the word of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the joy of the Lord is in your word, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for thy holy word. We ask for your blessing today, now in Jesus' name. Amen.